Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news the morning after the Europa League final, and the fallout continues and it will continue. We've got to find a way back. We have to find a way back as fans, and we'll try and do that over the coming hours, days and weeks. But it's not good. It's not good. As Patrick Lynch says, our trajectory has drastically changed after last night and we're going to be fundamentally different. As fans, we need to reassess how we view United, reevaluate everything. Unfortunately, real change only happens with new owners. Well, look, what I will say is Garnacho's leaving. That's breaking news. I'll tell you the detail on that in a moment. But we do need to look at ourselves, because we've all failed on this. No other football club would still have the Glazers in charge. Every day I wake up and I don't understand it. It's not just a silly statement, a morning after a final. Look at the league table. Look at the performance last night. Look at the debt. Look at Old Trafford being knocked down. Look at the relationship with Sir Jim Ratcliffe. Look at the sackings. The whole club, it's just sabotage on a massive level. And we have failed as a fan base to remove them. Absolutely failed. That needs to be studied. There's a lot of things that need to be studied, but why are they still here? They'd be gone years ago at Liverpool. Our biggest rival would have removed this lot years ago. Why? The reason we're rivals with Liverpool is because we're a great club with a great fan base and a great history. And yet, our big rival would not have the Glazers in charge, and we have. What's different about Liverpool and Man United? What's happened to our football club that we're just sat here waking up going, what's next? What's next? Look at the league table. Look at the club. Look at what's going to happen this summer. You know what needs to happen at Manchester United? You know what would happen at a proper club? You'd wake up this morning and you'd go, we're in big trouble. We're in big, big trouble. You used to be able to stay out of Europe for a year and get players in and, you know, and say it's only for 1 year. There's 6 clubs in the Champions League from the Premier League next year. They're all better than us already and they've all got loads more money. What's our plan? Cuts. I said this at the start, cuts don't work in football. It never will work in football. Everybody who's successful, Blackburn Rovers, Chelsea, Man City, you come in, you spend money. You get back to the top by spending money. We're doing the opposite and we're getting worse. Thank you. I'll take the praise here and everyone else who said it will as well. We were never going to get back to the top making cuts. We've got business bean counters running our football club and it's going to get worse. What actually needs to happen, you need to go screw PSR, screw FFP. The Glazers and Sir Jim don't want to put their own money into the club. Now is the time, everybody knows it, where you've got to spend as much as you bloody well can. Otherwise, we're going to sink forever. And we're not going to do it because we've got owners who want to save money and get money in from your pocket. What you need now is a Todd Bowley. You need an Abu Dhabi. You need somebody to come in and go, I'm going to throw as much money in as I can. Even if it means you run the risk of FFP fines. I mean, look, Man City might not even get done. They did it for 10 years. Why are we adhering to things that probably won't even get through? In fact, if we pulled out, if we stopped supporting the Premier League and supported Man City, the whole case would fall apart anyway. But look, that's for another day. We're in big, big trouble financially. Let's hit some of the news. So, Garnacho's leaving Man United. This was always 50-50 anyway. We've spoken about this for weeks. It was always 50-50. The club sort of tried to sell him in January. Amrim didn't want it to happen. Garnacho spoke to Napoli. He was thinking about it because the club didn't want him. It's been up and down since then. Last night, obviously, he's come out after the game and basically said this. The season was shit. We didn't beat anyone in the league. I reached the final. I played every round and helped the team. And to play 20 minutes today, I don't know. I'll enjoy the summer and then we'll see. He's gone. And, you can take the power on that if you want. You can say good riddance, get rid of him. But it's him deciding to go, which, you know, we can spin that as much as you like. But he has basically had enough. And I don't blame him. I actually don't. I woke up this morning and I can't believe the amount of hate and abuse that's going towards Garnacho. Why are we individualising this? why is a player that came on for 19 minutes responsible for last night? We didn't turn up in a final. Our manager had one job. He had to find a way to win that final. Ange Postecoglou won that final with a style of football he doesn't even play. He just saw a game and went, I have to find a way to win it. That's all Amrim had to do. He had to find a way to win it. We would not be sat here going if we'd won 1-0 like Spurs. Yeah, but we played shit. You just had to find a way. Fair play to Ange, he did. So look, when I see Garnacho coming out after the afterwards and saying that, it makes me laugh that there's so many United fans saying get rid of him. You can't come out and say that after a game. What? You can't come out after a game and say I'm really pissed off that I didn't play in a final. I've been here all season playing. I've not been injured for 90% of the season. I've been here week in, week out, playing games for this club, and I miss out on the final for people who are basically not been fit all season and also play shit. So we're going to go in on a player that's passionate after a game and honest and truthful, get rid of that player and keep the shit that we picked who haven't said a bloody word and didn't do a word on the pitch. I just think we've got a weird sense of what actually needs to be, what we need at this football club. Now, Garnacho will leave because Amrim's basically thrown him to the wolves. He said it after the game. What did he say after the game? He said something after the game about people are going to moan about me for picking Mason Mount, but Garnacho missed a big chance in the semi-final. He's gone. Garnacho's gone. Like, I've had that from the same source that I had it about Delap and about the team on Sunday. Garnacho's gone. Be very surprised if he goes on the tour next week. Be very surprised if he starts against Villa or is even in the matchday squad. That's how bad things are. Apparently, some players aren't happy with Garnacho. I mean, are we really going to go down the Ranić route again? Are we really going to go back to the days of players playing off each other to try and blame shift? I don't give a toss if there's a player in the United dressing room who's not happy with what Garnacho said after the pitch. Guess what, lads? I'm not happy about the shower of shit I've just watched last night. There's nobody in that dressing room beyond Dorgu and Yoro who can really hold their head up and say, I did a good job. There isn't. You know, everybody failed at different levels yesterday. But I'm not angry with Garnacho coming out and saying we've been shit this season and that he's not happy he didn't play in the final. I mean, I go back to Roy Keane in 2001 when we got knocked out of the European Cup. And he said this, players are taking their eye off the ball. Some of these players are not focused and committed enough. Has the team come to the end of its cycle? And if it has, we need to make changes. The Premier League, winning the Premier League isn't enough. We need to perform in Europe. I'm not happy with the exit and we've not been good enough to compete at the highest level in Europe. Roy Keane used to come out and say that in interviews as the captain. And we're now going to slate Garnacho for coming out and saying we've been shit all season. I mean, I've listened to what Bruno said. What's Bruno basically said? I'll tell you what Bruno said in a bit because I want to talk about whether we should sell him. But the general message I got from Bruno was, boo-hoo, I'm really sad. I want to be at this football club and help us win things. Well, bloody turn up in the final, mate. There's no point. I'm so bored of listening to projections of failure and empathy. Like, what do you want me to do this summer then? Sit on my sun lounger thinking, oh, the players do want to try. You know, in life, you get given opportunities. Don't moan and ask for more opportunities. I always say this. I say this to anybody. If you're given an opportunity, don't waste it and then ask for another one. Because you might get another one. But you can't complain if you don't. And I think that there's so many good people who've been sacked from this club over the last 12 months. Fact. Hundreds of people have been sacked and they didn't deserve it. They just got sacked because Sir Jim wanted to save money. What we saw last night was a bunch of people who maybe they do deserve to lose their job, maybe they don't. But ordinary working people who've got mortgages to pay, have lost their job at that football club and nobody said a fucking word. Nobody did anything about it. So don't start boo-hooing about Bruno being sold or anyone else being sold. Good people lost their job and nobody did anything because they were all thinking, oh, I hope we get Cunha in the summer. I couldn't give a toss. I couldn't give a toss anymore. I really don't. We'll have the Bruno chat in a bit, but it's not just about Bruno. Like, Anana's got to go. You know, there's a load of players that need to go. But you can't treat ordinary working people like shit and then not do it to the players as well. They don't deserve a second chance, some of them. It was abysmal last night. But back on track, Garnacho will go. I mean, he's burnt his bridges publicly.
Obviously, he's done that. There is no way back. I agree. There is no way back. Amorim's burnt his bridges as well with what he's done with Garnacho. They've completely and utterly, you know, fell apart there. Some people are going to back Garnacho. Some people are going to back Amorim. I don't back either, actually, because I think when you look at it, that's irrelevant. Like, waking up after last night and going after individual players or the manager is laughable. How many more years are we going to do this? I've got no issue with what Garnacho said after the game. I understand his frustration. If I was him, I'd have probably said a lot worse. Because to sit there on the bench and watch that for 70 minutes, every second must have felt like an hour. You'd be sat there going, let me get my head around this then. So Ahmad got injured at the end of January. Mount's been injured all season. I've been playing week in, week out. I've played all the Europa League games. I've played to get us here. I'm the one who's had to play fucking shitty Premier League games on a Sunday, Europa League because it matters on a Thursday. I've been doing it for months. The final comes along and I'm sat on the bench. And on top of that, I'm sat on the bench and the players that have took my place aren't even playing well. They're playing crap. So I've been dropped when I've been here and they haven't. And then I'm dropped and I'm watching that shit. And I'm not even getting on the pitch. I'm sorry. I don't know whether anyone's ever played professional sport. It's all about opinion. But I'd be fucking fuming as well. I'd be absolutely fuming because you know what? When you've put it in, I think Raphael said it to Beth last night because he was at the game. And he said, you know, when you've had a season like that and you've been there all season, you know, in the trenches taking shit, and you get to a final and it's the biggest game of your career, and then you get dropped for two players that haven't been there and they play badly, it's a hard thing to deal with, especially in the minutes after a game. He might regret what he said now. He might not, but he's 20 years of age as well. He's gone. He's gone. I've had that from very, you know, if you know, you know that he's gone, but you don't need that from that to know that anyway. So that's a little bit of money for Amorim and for the Glazers, isn't it? Well done. You've completely and utterly destroyed another young talent at Manchester United, and maybe Mainoo's going to head the straight same way. I hope he leaves Man United, goes somewhere else, and by the age he's 25, he's one of the best players in the world, and it will all be these knobheads who run this football club's fault, because I don't get that. I completely understand why he's done it. And we used to have players who used to come out and do this on the regular. I don't get this bloody snowflake fucking fan base anymore that who moan at players for coming out and being honest. Did you enjoy what Luke Shaw said after the game then? Did you enjoy what Bruno said after the game? The white flag, oh, woe is me, we've got to do better, when they were fucking shit themselves. Look, we're in big trouble. And what I will say is, though, nobody's opinion's wrong and nobody's opinion's right. You might disagree with me there, you might agree with me there. If you want the manager out, fair play. If you want the manager in, fair play. If you want Bruno to stay, fair play. If you want him to go, fair play. If you want to sell Rasmus, fair play. If you think get an experienced striker. Whatever you think this morning is your right. Because let's be honest, this is the bottom of the barrel. And nobody can tell you what you're saying is wrong. Unless you're being toxic and abusive and crossing a line. But I don't think there's an opinion about the manager or a player that anybody in that football club could go, that's not fair. Nobody at Man United can sit there and go, that's not fair. I mean, we all know what's coming any minute now in the next 2 days. Cunha, here we go. And some of you will be spun by that. But it won't be enough. It won't be enough. I look at like the transfer situation, because this is the news show. And what is without doubt is that last night, Fabrizio Romano dropped a big hint before the game that Gyökeres was there to be done if we won the Champions League final. Now, if I'm Man United, this is what I'm doing, right? We all know we're getting Cunha. If I'm Man United, I'm on the phone this morning, and the only thing they could do to turn this dire situation around a little bit is I'd be like, what will it take? What will it take to get you to come to Man United? We'll build the contract around whatever you want. I mean, we're not going to give you 300 grand a week, but we'll match what Arsenal are going to give you, and we'll build in, you know, we're saying we're going to be in Europe in a year's time. And if we're not, then there's a release clause, you can go. You know, that's what I would do. And people would go, well, we're never going to do it. You're absolutely correct. But why not? Why is this football club being run like bloody Poundland? We're a football club, not a business. We've got locked into business mentality. We're a bloody football club. Football clubs for years have spent more than they've earned. Like, we should be going, trying to survive. We should be trying to survive. And that's what we should be trying to do. But I don't see it. I think we're in big trouble. I mean, look, there's a rumour that we got £5.5 million last night for getting to the final, and £3.5 million went straight to Chelsea because there's a clause in Mount's contract that if he plays in a final, we have to give him £3.5 million. Let's talk about somebody in the chat just said, have you got any different thoughts on Amorim? It's a news show. Please share the video and get involved. I want to talk about Bruno next. 73% of you would sell him. Garnacho's gone. Gone. Unless there's a massive change, he's gone. Like, that is the end of the relationship between him and Amorim. I think it... And can I just say as well, what I was told this morning is, obviously, the club wanted to sell him in January because it's pure profit, but Amorim wanted to keep him and Garnacho wanted to stay. What happened last night was Garnacho basically went, nah, what's the point? You know, I've worked my arse off all season and you've thrown it in my face. So I think it's, you know, it might not be the behaviour that you want, but I'd rather have Garnacho than Mount. I'd rather have Garnacho than a lot of those players because at least he's, you know, he shows passion and he's got potential. I think it's a shame, but, you know, there's going to be more of this, and you know, I'm not going to talk about this for longer than about 20 seconds. But you've got to look at Mainoo and go, what's happened there? Like, what's happened there? You're watching that shit last night, and you're going, why is Mainoo not on the pitch? Like, I look at Mainoo a year ago; he was playing in the bloody Euros. He was playing in the midfield for England in the Euros after the back of a season that was brilliant for Man United. He can't even get on the pitch in a final where we're dreadful. I just don't get it. I understand that Amorim might go, you know what, Garnacho, Mainoo, you're ones for the future. We need to nurture you. But that's all well if the team's playing well. The team was crap. I mean, I understand we can't sub Bruno because we're worse without him. But it was a generational stinker. Amad just descended into chaos as well. Mount was disappearing. And you're like, I don't get it. But look, I have had it just before, because I want to get into the news. There's so much to talk about this morning. In relation to Amorim, where am I this morning? Where are you this morning? He had to find a way to win that game. I woke up this morning. I had hard to sleep last night. He had to find a win to win that game. It really didn't matter. I was listening to Ange after the game and he was like, look, the Premier League is the Premier League, but I always win a trophy in my first 2 years and I was obsessed with winning this. They've lost 21 games in the Premier League. It doesn't matter. It matters that we've lost loads of games because we've got nothing. But to Spurs, it doesn't matter. They played a different style of play. It was boring. They created nothing. Nothing. Spurs created nothing apart from the goal. And they won 1-0. Boring, crap game. And they won. And that's all that matters. That's all the history books say. £100 million, survival, etc. Amorim didn't seem to get the brief. All he had to do was find a way to win the game. I would have watched that game after 10 minutes and gone, I'm in trouble. Because they're playing deep. They're playing counter-attacking football. And we won't break them down. We went quite attacking with Bruno in the midfield. And we couldn't break them down. He should have started Ugarte and Casemiro. I said it. Many of you said it. He should have started Casemiro and Ugarte. You know what we should have done? He should have figured it out straight away. We're not going to break that team down because all our attacking players are down the middle and our fullbacks are wingbacks. So we're playing a back five and we've got no creativity down the middle because they're swamping the middle. They're forcing us down the wide with defensive fullbacks. What he should have done is he should have changed his fullbacks to wingers, whether it be Garnacho and Amad, and he should have put Ugarte in next to Bruno. Because then if Spurs try and exploit you down the wing, you're doing exactly the same. Your strength is down the centre. You've got Maguire who's good in the air. You've got Yoro who's good in the air. He completely missed for the whole 90 minutes, it was just so easy for Spurs. Like, they packed the midfield out and they forced us down the flank. We ended up with a back five against no attack. We didn't have enough people in the box. It should have gone Casemiro and Ugarte, locked our middle down, forced Spurs down the flank as well, and basically gone, this is going to be a boring game of chess, but sod it. Like, it was so naive. And he knew Spurs were parking the bus after 5 minutes, and he didn't change. And he didn't even make a sub till 70 minutes as well. There's nothing wrong with Amorim's system, by the way. You'll wake up this morning and there'll be all these knobheads talking about the system. There's nothing wrong with the system. Ange Postecoglou just won a final changing his system, but fundamentally it's the same players. The system, there's nothing wrong with the system. It's just that we ended up with a back five against no attack, and you've got to turn your fullbacks into wingers. They've got to be right on the edge of the box. You've got to get people in the box. It's as simple as that.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Anyway, let's talk about Bruno. So Bruno was speaking after the game. This is what Bruno had to say. My point of view has never been the financial side. If I want to go for a financial side, I will always have the option to go, but that's not the thing. What I want to do is win trophies and be involved in the best competitions. Well, maybe fucking turn up for the final then, mate. That might have been a good thing. But he said this: if the club thinks it's time to part ways because they want to do some cashing in or whatever, it is what it is. Football is sometimes like that. I've always said I will be here until the club says to me it's time to go. I'm eager to do more, to be able to bring the club to the great days, the day that the club thinks that I'm too much or it's time to part ways. Football's like that. You never know, but I've always said it and I keep my word in the same way. I mean, look, 78% of you would get rid of Bruno. I can't believe I'm saying it myself, but I've got to say that that's just words. And I've got very little time when the club's on its absolute arse for words. The thing that jumps out to me is here that he's basically putting it on the club. If the club want me to go, it's on the club. I'm not going anywhere. He's on 300 grand a week. Why would he? And he's playing in, you know, Europe. But I don't think from his performance, I just think he doesn't want to say I'm going. I think he's saying to the club, if you want me to go, I'll go. Which isn't, you know, the most resounding thing to say in the world. But where I struggle is, I'm eager to do more at the football club to be able to bring the club back to the great days. Mate, what do you think last night was then? You know, you're eager to bring the club back to glory days and work hard. What do you think last night was? And it's not just Bruno. It's most of the team. So what did you think last night was then? If you're eager to bring Man United back to the glory days and work hard, what did you think last night was? Pre-season? I mean, we couldn't spell it out anymore. The contrast between last night winning and losing is the biggest contrast we've faced in our recent history. So you talk about getting the club back to glory days and working hard. You've just put in an absolute stinker in the game that literally would have took us back to the Champions League and given us some hope. So I'm sorry, maybe you're not the right person. You know, that's what I'm sort of thinking. Like, words are brilliant and United players are brilliant at words. Luke Shaw said some brilliant words last night, but I'm looking at what's on the pitch. Words don't win you games of football. Interviews don't give you work. You know, Ruben Amorim would be manager of the year if it was given out for work rate and interviews. Like, he's obviously not going to get that. Like, I personally think now £120 million for Bruno Fernandes, based on last night's performance and being 31 next year and the fact that the club's broke, I'd take the money. And people go, what would we be without Bruno? What are we with Bruno? Like, it's not Bruno's fault. I love Bruno. I think he will be here next year. But with Bruno, look at what happened last night and look at where we are in the league. And people go, we'll get relegated. No, you get money for Bruno. You replace Bruno and you build a different team. we're not, you know, people go, without Bruno, we'd be relegated. Maybe this season, but with £120 million, you build a new team. You build a new future. We're at rock bottom. Absolute rock bottom. I just don't think you can turn down £120 million. I really just don't think you can. I agree with people saying without Bruno this season, we might have been relegated. I agree with that. I agree with people saying without Bruno, we wouldn't have been in the final. I agree with that. But right here, right now, do you want to continue down that road or do you want to take the money and try and rebuild the football club? And I just think, I can't trust them anymore. I don't understand what happened last night. I can't trust that. Misha says you can't ask for 120 million. Yeah, I don't know whether people are getting the brief. We've been offered 120 million by Saudi. The people were doing this last night. They were coming on the show going, laughing about 120 million. I don't know where you've been. Apparently, we've been offered that. So we're only talking about what we've apparently been offered. But whether it's 120 or 100, I'd still bloody take it. And 72% of you would. Look, Bruno's not going to go. And next season, we've got to find a way back. I get that. But I'm making no apologies this morning for being harsh on players who didn't turn up in the final. Like, I'm not going to make any apologies for being harsh on the manager who completely and utterly bantered himself in front of the whole world. Like, the main responsibility for where we are, we will discuss. And obviously, that is the Glazers, that is Sir Jim Radcliffe. But the players and the manager had one job last night and they failed it. And you know, it's not about Garnacho. It's not about Bruno. It's not about Amrim. It's not about any individual. It's a collective. You're only as strong as your weakest link. But we can't sit here and pretend that even though he's our player of the year, explain to me that performance last night from our captain. Explain it. I'd love to know. Explain that performance. Can anybody do it? I can't. I can't explain to you why our best player put in an absolute stinker. I don't know, but actually I probably can. I remember speaking about this on Sunday and I said, my big concern about Bruno is he doesn't play disciplined. He does the whole, I'm playing for a shit team, so I've got to play every single position. And I think he did. I think he was running around trying to do everything again. And it actually has a big, 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 big negative effect on his performance when that happens. Stedge says it's probably gone, but any chance Jokeres already had a gentleman agreement with Amrim himself? Look, Stedge, I felt like tweeting it last night and I didn't. And I will say it to you now, and it might be the residue of the Malbec, but there's still a part of me that hasn't given up on the Jokeres deal, even though it's completely illogical. I'll tell you why it's illogical. The club is broke. It owes £300 million on players we already own. We're sacking more people now. And why would Jokeres come to Manchester United when they're not in Europe? And I don't think we'll be in Europe next year, by the way. There's a question. I've heard people talking about, well, in a way, winning the Europa League and getting the Champions League would have papered the cracks. This might be the best thing for us. Yeah, I mean, that's a lovely fantasy, but you do realise it will probably be top four for the Champions League next year, not top five. The only reason it's top five this year is because we got a bonus spot and everybody did well in Europe. There's 10 Premier League teams in Europe next year. Do you really think everybody's going to do well? And that will damage our coefficient score. And if we drop out the top two, we won't get top five. It'll be top four. We've got 6 Premier League teams in the Champions League. They're better than us. They've got bigger budgets than us. They're going to buy better than us. I just can't put us in the top six. I can't. I don't see it. And I think Cunha's a good signing, but Cunha was a good player for Wolves. They still fought relegation. I don't see how we get into the top six next season. So I don't think this is a good thing for Man United. Unless we go and buy players that I go, look, if Man United next season are playing Premier League football, and the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup, and we're not leaving England at all, and our total focus is on that, and you've got Cunha, and you've got Jokeres, and you've got Ederson, and you've got a centre-back, and you've got a new goalkeeper, I'll give it a go. I'll be like, every game's got to be a cup final, let's have a go. But not with what we're looking to do now. We're a really bad side. in the Premier League. Fact, we're a really bad side and we're going to buy players that aren't good enough. And our biggest problem actually is that we can't score goals. We can't score goals. We can't score goals. We've got a real lack of discipline in the final third. There's too many heroes in that team in the final third. There's too many people playing for themselves and not playing for the team. And it's a huge, huge problem. I mean, the amazing thing is, on a positive, and I think it is worth saying, our two best players last night were 20 and 19. I thought Yoro and Dorgu were our two best players. And whilst that's a bit of a positive, it's also a massive negative of where's the experience, you know? Amrim got it wrong and playing Mount over Garnacho was bad thinking, says Philip. Sell Bruno, bring in more players to let Amrim build his squad, and Onana needs to go also. Will Cunha still come to United? Cunha will still happen, Philip. Remember, Amrim would be absolutely fuming if we sold Bruno, by the way. It's all right saying sell Bruno and give Amrim the money. He won't want the money. He wants Bruno. And I've got to say that one good question, and it's for you lot, is do you think it's the beginning of the end for Amrim? I think this is a good question because Amrim out is a waste of your breath. You know, I feel sorry for the Amrim out brigade because you know what? I think you've got every right to say it. I think the people who were saying it weeks ago, I cannot grasp that. It's crazy. But after last night, you've got every right to be angry. Amrim's not going to get sacked. Simon Stone said it this morning, but he's not going to get sacked. It's not on the agenda. It can't happen. If Villa beat us 9-0, it still doesn't happen. Will he walk? Well, there was talk about it last night, but when you actually listen to what he said, there's no prospect of that either. He's not looking to walk. He said his transfer plan's very interesting. Don't forget, let me talk about that. He says, it's clear I'll be Man United's manager next season. I'm always open to the board's decisions, but this is my dream club. I waited so long to change clubs because I only wanted this club. I'll stay as long as the club wants me. So he's not going anywhere, Ruben Amrim. He's got no intention of that at all. He also spoke about his plans for the transfer market, which I'll talk about in a moment. So Ruben Amrim's not going anywhere. That needs to be stopped. I think this time last year, we won the FA Cup with Ten Hag. We had that 2 weeks of ridiculousness where Ineos didn't know their arse from the elbow. Half the fan base wanted Ten Hag to stay. Half the fan base wanted him to go. That's wasted energy. So I would say to anyone who thinks that that's worth investing your time in, it won't happen. He will be here next season. The anger will subside. Pre-season will come. Hope will build again. We've got to find a way back. And we'll talk about that in a moment as well. Amrim will be here next season. The bigger question is this going to work? Is this the beginning of the end? Because I think that what did happen last night, and there's always a tipping point, but what did happen last night is the fans like myself and many of you who want Amrim to do well and we back Amrim, I think we probably wake up this morning and we don't necessarily feel the same. Not that we're Amrim out. I just think we lost something last night. And I think he probably lost something with the players as well. I think it was such a bad performance tactically, selection-wise, and he got absolutely no intensity from that team. Now, you think about Sir Alex, and we weren't very good in the 99 final against Bayern, but we were always fighting. It was an ability thing. It was a tactical thing, but we never stopped fighting. Like, the effort levels, the intensity, the determination was there. We were just struggling against a decent side. You look at United last night, tactically, it was a joke. Selection-wise, it was horrific. But then intensity-wise and effort, it was appalling. So I think as a player, you're going to look at the manager this morning and go, you got a lot wrong. And as an individual, you've got to look at yourself and go, I didn't play well. But you've also got the excuse of going, look at what everyone's saying about the manager. He got it wrong. And that just starts to drop into the head over the summer. You've then got us as fans going, he got it wrong. He absolutely got it wrong. Like, when you think about it, we've basically abandoned Premier League games and points to focus on the Europa League. He's told us that. Quite rightly, I thought it was the right thing to do, but we've literally basically ignored bad Premier League performances because the Europa League is all that matters. That's absolutely fine if you win it. But, you know, what a shame that that Lyon result, I'll never talk about it again. It's dead. Doesn't mean anything. What a shame that this whole Premier League season and all these bad losses contributed to nothing. And that, I think, I just look at last night with Amrim and I go, I want him to do well. He will be the manager. And look, Sir Alex Ferguson had some low points in the early days. It doesn't mean he won't be successful, but I think he's coming from a very difficult position now. The media are going to be gunning for him. And I think he's lost something in the fan base and within the players after last night that, you know, it's going to be very interesting. I want him to do well. I really do. And on top of that, he's going to be the first Manchester United manager that doesn't get proper backing. I mean, I think about Mourinho's first summer, Zlatan, Pogba. You think about Ten Hag's first summer, Casemiro, Martinez, some really big players. Same with Ole. What's his first summer going to be? All right, Cunha, but like he needs more. He needs a lot more. But look, is it the beginning of the end for Amrim? If I had to choose yes or no, I would say yes. I think the momentum of this season is going to carry on into next season as soon as we get some bad results. And people talk about, oh, not being in the Champions League means that we can focus on Premier League games. But just imagine this. You play in Arsenal in mid-September. You've only taken 7 points from your first 12. You play Arsenal in mid-September. You lose. Okay. So you've got 7 points from 15. And then you don't play for another week. And that whole week, people think it's a good thing. It's not a good thing. There is going to be so much scrutiny on this team. So much scrutiny. And we're Manchester United. It's not like, oh, we're playing on a Sunday and then the next game's on a Saturday, but we're not playing in Europe, so everyone will go quiet. If we lose that game or we draw that game or we play badly in that game, I don't think people understand the problems now. Financially, it's a huge problem for the club, but the scrutiny is going to be massive. If you're winning every Premier League game, it'll be fine. But as soon as we start losing them, that time between games will be filled with people going, get rid of him, get rid of him. I don't think there's going to be a lot of patience for Amrim next season in the media, in certain aspects of the fan base. I think it could be the beginning of the end. And remember, they've basically got to renew his contract in a year's time, because if they're not, they're going to send him into the last year. So he's caused himself a lot of problems last night. Everyone's entitled to make mistakes, but when you make mistakes of that value in a game like that, and those finals don't come around that often, I think it's going to take a hell of a lot for him to turn it around next season. But you know what? I absolutely desperately am hoping he does, because if I'm thinking this is the beginning of the end, then however long it is from now to then is just wasted time. So this, you know, it's going to get worse then, isn't it? I mean, think about it. If we're thinking this is going to get worse for Amrim and he's going to get the sack, that means from this point, it's going to get even worse. Has to get better, surely. Bigger question, even more than Amrim in or out, says Patrick. Is there any manager out there that can rebuild properly under this ownership and with our finances? I don't think so. It seems impossible, says Patrick. Patrick, we can only discuss it, but what's next for Manchester United? I think that we're in a very weak position. Publicly, everyone knows we're desperate to sell, so people will offer silly wages, prices. People know that we're desperate to buy, so they'll bend us over there as well. We're in a weak position in relation to everyone knows we're shit, and why would you come here? We're in a weak position in relation to even if Spurs go for a player we want, you'd pick Spurs. So we probably haven't got a lot of money. So everywhere you look, there's not a lot of positives. I would implore people not to go looking at the financials, because that will make you even more depressed. I saw a story this morning that the Times has said that we've got £100 million to spend plus sales. I just don't listen to this sort of stuff. I actually think the most important thing, and it won't happen, is that there is no point listening to Ruben Amrim anymore. he needs to go and have a break. There is absolutely no point listening to Amrin. What we need and what we won't get is this football club is at its lowest point in a very long time. And we're all sat here talking about no European football. Manager's going to be on the ropes next season. Players aren't good enough. We need major investments in the squad. The only people who should be talking now are Sir Jim Ratcliffe and Omar Berada. They should be stepping up and telling us the truth, because the biggest issue we've got now is people will start believing nonsense and people will start believing positive and bad things that aren't true. We need an honest delivery of truth from the people in power at that football club. What is the real situation? Can we still sign a Gyökeres? Can we still do something miraculous in this transfer window? Or are we actually just going to get Cunha, Delap, and that's it? Like, if Delap still wants to come, I still think Delap will happen. I don't believe for one second that the Champions League was a factor in whether he wants to come to United. I think he'd love to come to Man United. I think we've got that deal done. But yeah, we need to know. Because this is what Ruben Amorim said about transfers this summer. He said, we've got two plans for the market and we need to understand it's tough for a club like ours not to be in the Champions League. But we have to use the other side. If we have more time, we have more time to think, to work during the week and to be better in the Premier League. That will be our focus. So look, I'd be scared. I'd be very scared about that. I mean, you can't be... And remember what, you know, this is why it works. This is why this community is so good, because we remember things. In the build up to this final, Ruben Amorim was asked about, would it be a good thing if you lose that you've got all that time on the training ground? And he said, it's a good thing to have more time on the training ground, but trust me, we're in big trouble if we lose this final. And I'm going to need a lot of patience from the fan base and from the media, because things are going to get really bad. That was before the final, from Ruben Amorim. And then after the final, he's basically saying the same thing. We're in big trouble. We had two plans. If we're in the Champions League, we can go and buy this, this, and this. If we're not in it, all we've really got is the training ground in between games. And you can't polish a turd. You can't polish a turd. I've said it for years, not in relation to Man United necessarily. You can't polish a turd. So people will be there going, oh, it's okay, we've got loads of time on the training ground. Why does Pep Guardiola go and buy players for £100 million then? The most intense and obsessed coach in the Premier League. Surely he doesn't need to buy anyone then. If he just has time on the training ground, he doesn't need to buy players. Well, of course he does, because better players make you a better team. You can't coach shit. It doesn't matter, you know, he could have a whole year with this team and we'd still get beat by Everton. Like, it's not going to make a difference. He needs players. And this is why I was saying at the start, we need to wake up. We need to wake up. I didn't ask to be run by a football club that cuts costs. I didn't ask for this. Gary Neville might like it. Sir Jim might like it. But I don't think Man United fans like it. I'm fed up of being told we've got to cut costs. The only reason we've got to cut costs is because we've got owners who want to cut costs. The only reason we can't spend money in the transfer window is because we've got owners that don't want to put their money into the football club. I'm telling you now, if Todd Boehly was in charge of Man United, we'd be buying big players this summer. He might be cutting a few corners, he might be taking a few risks, but we'd be buying big players this summer, 100%. The reason we're not, and the reason it's all doom and gloom, is because we're run by people who've never put money into this football club and they don't want to. And that's why we're in trouble. We are, everywhere you look, everything suggests this football club is in trouble. You've got debt, you've got sackings, you've got huge amounts of money still owed on play. I mean, look, I couldn't believe this. This was in my head when I went to sleep last night. United have just put out an absolutely generational bad performance in a final. Yeah? Awful. Awful performance. The only injuries we've got are centre-backs, Martinez and De Ligt. There wasn't a problem with the defence last night, really. You know, you'd expect to concede a goal to Spurs. We conceded one. The problem was not scoring goals. The only players we're missing are defenders. So that's our best attack. All right, he might have picked the wrong players, but that's our best attack. We still owe £300 million for players we've already got. Hold that thought for a moment. Not only are we bad, But we also owe 300. We're still paying £300 million for the players that we've already got. Imagine that. And also remember, Spurs didn't have Maddison, Kulusevski, Bergvall, and Son didn't start. We ain't got nowhere to look. And Amrim had the cheek to say we were the better team. I know I'm not going to go hard on him for that, because at the end of the day, a manager comes out with shit after a game. But come on. I mean, it was really, really unacceptable. Paul says it's unacceptable. I want protests every week. Says Paul, mate, you talk about protests. There'll be 75,000 fans at Villa Park against Villa at Old Trafford on Sunday. We've got 39 points. We didn't turn up for a final. The club's in debt. It's its lowest point. There'll be 75,000 fans there. Next week, we're doing some stupid end-of-season tour in Asia. It'll be packed for both games. Why do you think the Glazers are still here? Because it doesn't matter what they do, they'll still make money. We're like a loyal dog. They can kick us as many times as we like and we'll still come back to get stroked. It's incredible. And that's probably the answer I'm looking for. I think if this was Liverpool, they wouldn't turn up. It'd be empty on Sunday. The protests would be consistent. They target the owners in a way that would just make their lives impossible to make money. But at Man United, there's always people there. There's always people turning up. Do you think this is the final nail in the coffin for Garnacho and Mainoo, says Naveen? I think Garnacho's gone. That's exclusive. You can do what you like with that. He's gone. I don't even know if Garnacho will be in the team on Sunday. I don't even know if he's going to go on the tour. Maybe they'll cover it up and be positive because obviously it makes him more attractive. But the money we'll get for Garnacho will be shit as well. Won't it? It won't be very good. I mean, we were talking about 60, 70 million. I bet it will be less than 50. Somebody said in the chat, you've not spoken about Onana. Give me time. Bottler, Bruno, Shaky Shaw, missing Mount. Get them out and start from scratch. Got to respect Ten Hag for getting anything out of this miserable bunch, says Marlo. Ten Hag for me is like that though, Marlo. On the one hand, I think he did good. And then I look at some of the players we've been stuck with because of him. And you think, obviously he bought Rasmus. He bought Mount, Onana, Anthony, you know, there's a lot of players that he brought in for huge money that we're still paying for. I know it's not what we wanted by losing, but this potentially gives us time to rebuild with a style of play, says Dan. I think we've answered that one, Dan, and I disagree, unfortunately. I hope you're right, though. Big problem is holding on to players who held us for ransom. Rashford never worth 350k a week. Need to sell players when their value is there, says Connor. Look, I'm glad that nobody's saying we should have kept Rashford. I think in relation to Rashford, let's not forget, he didn't turn up for two managers this season. So great player. Could have done with him. Of course we could. But he wasn't turning it in for Ten Hag. And then he didn't turn it in for Amrim. So I don't think we can look at that and go, oh, you know, we'd be better with Rashford. It wasn't like he wasn't given opportunities. We have the worst keeper and striker in the league, says Matthew. Sean Turner says, we're done as a club now. We've now got to sell our best players to stay afloat. Let that sink in for apparently the biggest club in the world. Sean, I completely agree. I completely agree. Many of you in the chat have said this. How does a football club that's shit get better by selling its best players? Sell them all, then we have plenty to rebuild, says United Star. We need to find a way that we are less reliant on Bruno, says Rhea. I was going to say that, Rhea. I hope Amrim does work, but I'm going to say it again. Putting Bruno Fernandes in your midfield is going to kill you as a team. He hasn't got the discipline. He's not a holding midfielder. He can't defend. He can't tackle. And he hasn't got positional discipline. He is a player that wants to be here, there and everywhere. You can't put him in your midfield pivot against Bentancur, Sarr and Bissouma. It's wild to think that's going to work. It'll work in the Championship. It'll work for Real Madrid. If you've got a good enough team, you can do that. But you can't do that when you've got to work hard and you're not a very good team. You've got to play, you know, that should have been Ugarte and Casemiro yesterday. Jim says, fans have to understand that we are not a top team anymore. Glazonomics made us a mid-table team. We're lucky not to be fighting against relegation. Fans say, sell everyone. But before you shout back, give me an alternative for each sale which we can afford. Feeling miserable, but logic must prevail, says Hitton. I don't know the long-term way back. I think one thing I will say is that if you're giving up, then you were never a supporter anyway. If you're turning your back, then you were never a supporter anyway. There are clubs out there that are on the brink of extinction, that, you know, in the lower leagues, and they've got fans that stick by them. You choose a team and you stick by a team. I've got no sympathy for people who are talking about walking away or this, that and the other. It's difficult. It's hard. At least we have a community like this. At least, you know, every night at 8 o'clock and every morning at 10 o'clock, you can come on here and chat with other fans and it's a therapy session. God, we're going to need them. Do I know what the way back is? I don't know what the way back is, but we've got to find a way. At some point, we'll have to move past this, you know, frustration and get behind this manager again. At some point, we're going to have to, you know, hope and have hope for the new season and go with what we've got. But the sabotage and damage that's being done from above, I mean, fair play to all those fans that told us Sir Jim was the future and we should be voting for Sir Jim. Basically got in bed with the Glazers and made the club worse. Where are all those people now? Where are all those people now who were telling us, you know, we were wrong for wanting completely in new owners and, you know, an influx of money? No, Sir Jim's the answer. He's a good guy. Sir Jim. Even when he was getting in bed with the Glazers. Oh, yeah, Sir Jim. Very quiet now, aren't they? Who's their target now? Garnacho, by any chance? You know, Bruno. This is what I mean. Like, we can have conversations about Garnacho and Bruno and everyone else like that, but let's never lose sight of the fact that if we're waking up this morning and going after individual players again or managers, then how stupid are we as a fan base? The way this club's been run for 20 years is horrific, and the way it's been run over the last 12 months is even worse. It starts at the top. There are lots of problems at that football club, but it starts at the top. And trust me on this one. People in the club can't stand the Glazers and Sir Jim Radcliffe. So we're trying to rebuild a football club with owners that everybody in the club can't fucking stand. And you wonder why we are where we are. If you're at a business where the workers hate the owner, is it going to work? No. They need to go, but we can't get rid of them. So I don't know what the future is, Hitton. I really don't know what the future is. It's hard to say, really. Mount and Ahmad are better than Nacho, says John. Mount's shit, mate. I wrote down players after the game that I would sell. And funnily enough, to me, Garnacho, Mainoo, no, I wouldn't get rid of them. They're 20. They're players that you can build with. And they're part of the future. I put down Onana. Got to go. I saw Casemiro falling out with him. Yoro asking him where he was. Maguire just doesn't. You can just tell Maguire ain't got a bloody clue what Onana's going to do. You can't have a goalkeeper like that. As much as he wasn't massively to blame with why we didn't get back in the game, it's not his fault, but you've got to change the goalkeeper. Luke Shaw's got to go. I mean, I would have a bingo card on when Luke Shaw gets injured. Do you think he actually will go to Asia or play at the weekend, or do you think he'll have a knock? I mean, Luke Shaw, basically back for another final. You can't rely on him. Andy doesn't play very well. Mason Mount again as well. I just think he drifts in and out of games too much. I also think he's going to get injured again soon. And I put Bruno down because I just think if it's true that there's £100 million there, why would you not take it? Look, I get it. There's people out there with posters on their wall, Player FC, whatever. But If you're at rock bottom, what you got to be scared of? Why would there be any player in that team that I'd go, you can't sell them? We're literally at rock bottom. Look at the league table. Look at that final yesterday. I mean, I'm still in absolute shock. I woke up this morning and thought it was cup final day. I don't feel like yesterday happened because I don't feel that we actually had a final. I felt like we as fans understood it was final day, but I feel like it's the final tonight. Because I didn't see a Man United team turn up. So if we're at rock bottom, which we are, why would you be scared about clearing house and starting again? But the reason Bruno won't go is because he doesn't want to go and Amrim doesn't want him to go either. But the thing that would make me the happiest the most would be the Glazers and Sir Jim Radcliffe putting the club up for sale and going. That would make me party in the street. That's the only way back. But I was saying this 2 years ago. Our only chance is new ownership, and we're not going to get it. So things are getting worse. We need to stop thinking United is the big footballing club and back to reality. I've grown over time to accept this while these owners are here, says Zane. I agree that selling Bruno for £120 million is the right move, but do you trust this current ownership to relocate the funds, says Ollie Price. Andrew is sitting in 17th place in the Premier League, made Amrim look like an absolute clueless PE teacher. It's 9 games without a win, says Abraham. Does Amrim have a problem with Ugarte, says Jahid. Clearly he does, yeah. 120 million. But Amrim's weird because he wouldn't pick Casemiro for 2 months and it was Ugarte every game and now he won't pick Ugarte. It's almost like he goes through... And, you know, Mason Mount starting games as well. It's like he goes through phases with players, doesn't he? I'd have to research that over the summer of whether he's like that with at Sporting. Perhaps allowing Saudi to buy Bruno is a lifeline for United, says Lucian. Both our manager and our captain came out after the match with poor me. I'll go if you want me to. And we wonder about mentality, says Lou. Explanation, they can't play the system, says Keel. It's probably gone, but any chance Jokeres already had it? Yeah, I've done that one from Stedge. Rio, welcome to the members club. Amrim got it wrong and playing Mount over Garnacho was bad thinking. Sell Garnacho, bring in more players to let Amrim build his squad, and Onana needs to go also. Will Cunha still come? Yes, Philip, we've done that one. Ange played simple tactics, but when our best player cannot pass or retain possession, any tactic Amrim plays fails. We can only lob the ball and run, says NSS. Well, the goal was came from a shit Bruno stupid pass. Double D, now we'll see what sort of businessmen the Glazers are. Any idiots you never know go any idiot knows you never go down with a sinking ship. Sell the club now while it's worth something and give this club some hope, says Double D. If this doesn't get the Glazers out, nothing will. 17th place and we can't even talk about Europa accomplishments, says Bilal. No Europe for 2 years minimum for all our so-called experienced players. Flush them out now before age destroys them, says Nick P. The thing is, because of the Champions League now, it's the worst time not to be in the Champions League. You get £100 million for being in it every year. So £100 million this year, we weren't in it. £100 million next year, that's £200 million of revenue that Liverpool have got that we haven't got. Next year, £300 million. A couple of years, clubs are getting £500 million of revenue that we're not getting. You can't survive. The money's ridiculous. Also, TV deal. We're not going to be on the TV much next year. TV revenue is going to drop huge. No one's going to want to watch Man United play Tottenham. We won't be on the telly much next year. There's too many teams better than us. So it compounds itself. If you want Man United on the telly next year, you better buy Jokeres. If you want Man United on the telly next year, you better buy Edison. If you want Man United back, you better go and fucking spend money. It's a risk, but you can't just sit there making cuts because people won't want to watch us. Winning the Europa would have papered the cracks, says Kev. There is nowhere to hide. We're broke and need a full reset. He has one window and bought Dorgu, who was our man of the match last night. Fair play, Kev. Bruno and Luke Shaw need to zip it, says Nigel. No sympathy. Your mum's on benefits. Shaw needs to go. Clueless, says John O'Neill. I backed the manager, but he was the one to blame. Keeping Shaw on didn't make any sense, says Darth Vader. Ange admitted openly he parked the bus. Fair play. And he got it right, 1080. He got it right. He won the game by any means. If we sell Bruno, we'll go down, says Matthew. I disagree. Maybe you've addressed this. I've just joined, but I just saw your Garnacho tweet. We cannot defend his comments. If Rashford or Sancho did that, everyone would have been livid. Garnacho always does this, says Love United 8. I wouldn't be. No, I wouldn't be, mate. I wouldn't be livid with any player that comes out after the game and is frustrated that they didn't start when they watch that shit. I think people get confused with when you can and can't talk out. He didn't start a final. And the people that did were shit. And he's played all season, not injured, and put the shirt on. And certain people haven't done that. I think he's got every right to say, I'm really disappointed. We've been shit all season and I only got 20 minutes. Being out of Europe is good for us in the short term, says... I don't think it is. Mount and Shaw started ahead of Ugarte, Delo and Garnacho, says John. Amrim's too stubborn for a coach, says Palimo. All he needed to do was copy and paste Eric Ten Hag's squad in the final. I'm seriously worried for Amrim, says Palimo. Can you please give us your way forward of what's to happen now we've lost? I value you there. I will probably cover some of this off in a bit on the 2 o'clock show because we've got lots to say. Phil Cartwright says, I sent you an email about post-financial implications, says Phil. I don't think, in all fairness, Phil, I don't think there's a definitive person out there that can tell us the financials. I really don't because those financials can change. You know, there's ways they can get money in the football club. There's ways we could be finished. Would he leave even if they sack Amrim before July? Amrim saying he won't take compensation. Says right, Amrim's not going anywhere, Ravel. He really isn't going to go anywhere. Patrick Lynch, we've read that. Shaka Phillips, hope you're doing well. This is the lowest I felt supporting the club. Full reset needed. Glazers and Ineos out. Amrim in. Fans need to unite. Yeah, how many years we've been saying this? If Luke Shaw has any dignity, he'd be terminating his contracts as Matty. The Glazers and Ineos won yesterday. Just another excuse to sack staff and avoid real investment. They'll never clear out Deadwood. And to the fools who think they'll sell, wake up and jog on. Amrim throwing Garnacho under the bus, most cowardly move ever. Not a single lad started yesterday. Academy, Agate with two assists doesn't start. 0 cents as Edward. Slapped off the league to provide that dross in the finals as Colin. We should have backed Ten Hag, but instead we called for change and were worse off. Does anything Amrim has done give you faith for the future, says Liam. Colin's gifted a membership. Timmy says, Mark, do you agree that our away fans haven't stopped singing even when we've been terrible? Sending the wrong message to the players. Scream your mind, lads. Don't take it, says Timmy. Need to go full ahead against the owners, says Shortest Straw. Thank you very much for that. Just got a few super chats to read here. I've got to go over to Terry's channel. He's going to go mad. Biggest question, even more than Amrim in or out, is there a manager out there that can rebuild, says Patrick. I want protests, says Paul. Do you think this is the final nail in the coffin? I've done all. I thought there was a few more coming in, but they're not coming there. 100 million if we win yesterday, 120 million if we sell Bruno. I'll say no more, says Dull. Thank you very much for that. Okay, look, I'm back with you at 2 o'clock. Unless anything breaks before. I mean, we're going to get... Lookhurst, straight away, all about Rasmus. He's such a twat. I mean, I'm not saying that Rasmus doesn't need to go, but you get rid of Rasmus and you bring Delap in. You've got one striker. And also, everyone's entitled to their opinions this morning. Of course they are. But individualizing this is why we fail. Blaming Amrim, blaming Rasmus, blaming Bruno, blaming Garnacho. It's the same old stuff. And can I just say this as well? That particular journalist and a lot of them are probably absolutely stonking one out all day today because they contribute to the toxicity. Even when things were going well, they're still loading the bullets. They're not fans of Manchester United. You shouldn't listen to them. They thrive on Man United's negativity. That's all they do. They're not fans of Manchester United. Like they're not. Remember, we go to these games. We're sat in the same area as them. They're not celebrating goals. They're typing away on their laptops. They're just paid employees for big companies that just want to feed off Manchester United. And the best way to do that is through negativity. They're not the people to listen to when you're trying to forge opinion in your own head as to how Man United get back. They're vultures. That's what they are. I've said it before as well. It's very difficult to find a way forward for Manchester United because even when things are going well, people are always trying to make us fall. Right, I'm going to end the stream. I'm back with you at 2 o'clock. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Obviously, it's going to be a very interesting few hours today. I'm sure more stuff's going to come out. When are they going to drop the Cunha story as well? They're going to drop that at some point as well. I'll speak to you all at 2 o'clock, if not before. I'm going to be on Terry's channel in a few minutes. I'll speak to you over there as well.